Going to the book of Romans for our study this morning, Romans chapter 10. I want to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 3. Be reading from the New King James Version. Romans chapter 10, beginning our reading in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. While describing the lost condition of the Jewish people, Paul shows his concern for the brethren in this passage, but he also mentions their zeal and their knowledge. They had a zeal for God, but that zeal was not according to knowledge. It was not according to a full, correct, and accurate knowledge of the will of God. This, Paul counts as their downfall, because it brought about their ignorance. And in their ignorance, they set about to establish their own way by which they could be made righteous, that is, their own way by which they could be saved. They thought that through keeping the works of the law of Moses, it would bring about their salvation or their justification. So they ignored God's plan by which they could be made righteous, that is, an obedience of faith in Christ Jesus. I want to study with you this morning about zeal and knowledge. First of all, let's define these two terms. Zeal, the Greek word from which it comes from, simply means heat, means to be hot, fervent. It's used here as ardor, intense emotion, fierce intensity of feeling, interest in the pursuit of something, fervor for a cause. So they were fervent for God. They were zealous for God. They were on fire for God, you might say. They were a very zealous people when it came to serving God under the law of Moses. It is synonymous with our words, enthusiasm, passion, eagerness, intensity. So they had a great intensity and enthusiasm for serving God, but it was not according to a full or accurate knowledge of God's will. The word knowledge in our text refers simply to being informed and having an understanding of something. That's what knowledge is, being informed about something and having an understanding of it. But it's used here in our text in reference to incomplete or partial knowledge, which results in incorrect or inaccurate understanding of God's will. It results in ignorance. It results in spiritual ignorance. And it brings about one's downfall. That was the downfall of the Jews on this occasion. This incomplete and partial knowledge of the will of God was incorrect and it was inaccurate. So it did not bring about the salvation of their soul. Zeal, of course, is good to have. Enthusiasm is indeed good. For I bear them witness, he said, that they have a zeal for God. He could testify to the fact that the Jewish people as a whole were very zealous and enthusiastic for serving God because he himself was a Jew. So zeal is good in our service to God. It's good also in regard to repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 11, Paul said to the Corinthians, "For I have observed this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. That which is under consideration is their repentance in regard to the young man that had his father's wife. They were told to put him away. They should have been mourning his spiritual demise, but they seemed to be happy to have him in their presence. And Paul called them to disfellowship him. They had repented. Zeal was involved in that repentance. It's also good to have zeal in regard to our enthusiasm as being that which is might be contagious, that others might see our zeal and might become enthusiastic or zealous as well. In 2 Corinthians 9, and in verse 2, Paul said, "For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, but Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority." In the context, what Paul is speaking about is Paul had asked churches to make up a contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem. Well, Achaia, that is the southern province of ancient Greece, was ready a year ago to do this, and your zeal, Corinth, was a part of that Roman province. Your zeal has stirred up the majority. That is, the brethren who was in that Roman province had been stirred up. They had become enthusiastic. They had become passionate in regard to making up a contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem. They had become zealous because of the enthusiasm that the Corinthians had. So our zeal might be contagious. Us being zealous or enthusiastic about something might become contagious, and others might catch it. Others might see us being zealous for serving God, being zealous toward repentance, being zealous toward making up a contribution for some needy saint. Zeal is also good in that it can show and demonstrate our interest to others, because when we're zealous and when we're enthusiastic and have passion in regard to others, that is a good thing. Colossians 4 and in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. So Epaphras, a member of the church in Colossae, was zealous for the brethren in Colossae, but also for the brethren in Laodicea and Hierapolis as well. So zeal is good in that it can show and or demonstrate our interest in others as well. However, zeal without a full or accurate knowledge is not good. Not good at all. Because in our context, we see that it calls the Jews to establish their own unprofitable religion. For I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, Romans 10 and verse 2, but not according to knowledge. Their zeal was not according to a full, accurate, or complete knowledge of the will of God. It brought about their ignorance, and in their ignorance, they set out to establish their own way of becoming righteous, their own righteousness. That is, their own way by which they could be made righteous. God's way was through faithful obedience to Christ Jesus. The Jews' way of becoming righteous was keeping the works of the law of Moses perfectly. So this zeal that they had was indeed good, but it was not according to an accurate or full complete knowledge of the will of God. So zeal without a full or accurate knowledge of God's will is simply not good. As a matter of fact, this kind of zeal, this kind of fervor caused the high priest and others to persecute the apostles in Acts 5 and in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. There's our word translated zeal. They were filled with indignation. So sometimes zeal is indignation. Sometimes it has reference to anger. It has reference to jealousy. So they were filled with jealousy or indignation or anger, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So sometimes zeal or being zealous can cause one to become angry or filled with indignation and zealous to harm the lives of others. It caused Paul to persecute Christians. In Philippians 3 and in verse 6, Paul said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. You want to know how enthusiastic I was for Judaism, he said? This is how enthusiastic I was for Judaism, persecuting the church. Acts 8 in verse 3, Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So him being zealous for Judaism brought about the persecution of the church. Hardly anything is more dangerous today than for religious people, both within and without the church, to have a great zeal but without a full or accurate knowledge of God's will. It's good for us to be zealous, but when we lack a full or complete knowledge of God's will and we're filled with zeal, it can be dangerous. For the Jews, it brought about their ignorance and their downfall. They established their own way of becoming righteous. Do we not see that in the denominational world today? The denominational world, many of them are very zealous for God. They're very enthusiastic in their service to God. But that zeal is like the Jews that Paul has in mind. That zeal they have is not according to a full or accurate or complete understanding of the will of God. And so they establish their own way of becoming righteous. Faith only. Calvinism. Lutheranism. You name it. Every false doctrine comes because people are zealous for God, but they lack a full or accurate or complete understanding of the will of God. An exact, full, or accurate knowledge of God is good. It is good. In John 8, in verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does it mean to know the truth? It means to have a complete understanding of the will of God. That doesn't mean that you understand everything completely and everything accurately. But the truth, the gospel, will not free you from your sins unless you have an accurate, full, or complete knowledge of what it takes to release you from your sin. If one believes that baptism is not necessary for the salvation of their soul, they'll not be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. So they don't have a complete or accurate knowledge of the will of God. The knowledge that they do have then will not free them from their sin. So you shall know the truth. That is, you'll have a full or exact knowledge of the will of God, and it'll free you from your sin. In 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 4, Paul said, God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Does God want us to come to just a partial knowledge of the truth? No, he wants us to come to an exact, full, or accurate knowledge of the truth. Because only with an accurate, full, and complete knowledge of the truth will our souls be saved if we're obedient to it. In 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 7, Paul spoke of those who were always learning, know this, and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Some false teachers who led some women astray in the immediate context were never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They were never able to come to a complete knowledge of the truth, an accurate knowledge of the truth. They were always learning. That's like some people. They want to be saved from their sins, but they're always learning some new way of being saved from their sins. But they never come to an accurate understanding of what the Scriptures teach in order for them to be saved from their sins. In Colossians 1 and in verse 9, Paul said, For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, so that in order that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We can increase in the knowledge of God. We can come to that full, exact, accurate understanding of the will of God. In 2 Peter 2 and in verse 20, Peter spoke of those who had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One doesn't escape the pollutions or the corruption, the moral corruption, the degradation of this world by having a little bit of knowledge of the will of God, a little bit of knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He escapes by having a full, complete, or accurate knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them in the beginning. So an exact, full, or accurate knowledge of God's will is good. An accurate, exact, full knowledge without zeal is not good, though. You got to have an accurate, full knowledge of the will of God, and you got to have zeal. If you don't have the zeal to go along with that full or accurate knowledge, that knowledge is not going to do you much good. There are a lot of people who have a knowledge of God's will, but they can't be classified as people who are enthusiastic, people who are passionate for serving God, people who are on fire for serving God, people who are zealous towards serving God. So an accurate, full, or accurate knowledge of God's will without zeal is no good. In Amos chapter 6, the prophet Amos chapter 6 and in verse 1, speaking to the people of northern Israel, he said, "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion." Zion here might refer to Jerusalem, but more likely it refers just to the people of God as a whole. "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes." Note that, who are at ease in Zion. That's like people in the church today. No enthusiasm, no passion, no zeal, not very zealous for serving God at all. They have become like the people of Amos's day. They are at ease in Zion. They've simply kicked back, you might say, and are enjoying the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus and enjoying the physical blessings that God brings to them, but they show no fervor, no enthusiasm, no passion for actually serving God. At ease in Zion. He says, go to Chaldee and see. And from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Note that. As God asked his people during that day, are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? What's the answer to those questions for the people of that day? No, we're not better than these kingdoms. Their territory is no greater than our territory. They should be a people who are greater than these people in their enthusiasm and passion for serving the living and true God, but they're not. They're at ease in Zion. He says, woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Their day of doom was coming. The judgment of northern Israel was coming. They were going to be taken away into Syrian captivity. But they put that day of judgment far off in their mind. Like some Christians today put the day of judgment far off in their mind. Judgment's not coming tomorrow, so I can live the way I want to live. Judgment's not coming tomorrow, so I don't have to be enthusiastic and filled with passion. I don't have to be zealous in service to God. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who calls the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, that's at ease in Zion, stretched out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, oh, they have life so good, don't they? As we in this nation in which we live, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments, and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David. Oh, they were not using these musical instruments in worship to God. They were using these musical instruments for pleasure. Verse 6. Who drink wine from bowls, not just a cup, not just a small goblet, but a bowl. That is, God had provided them with plenty. And they were gluttonous. Who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments. but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Joseph here is mentioned when the northern kingdom is under consideration, referred to as simply because of the two sons of Joseph from that nation. Therefore they shall not go captive as the first, therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. The people of Amos's day was at ease in Zion. They had no enthusiasm, no passion. They were not zealous for serving God. They were just kicked back and taking it easy, enjoying all the blessings that God had provided them. They saw themselves as no different from the other nations round about them. When we come to the New Testament in Revelation 3 and in verse 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Know this, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." You have a name. I know your works. I know your deeds. I know your actions. You have a name. You have a reputation, that you're alive, that you're filled with zeal, that you're filled with enthusiasm, that you're filled with passion in serving God. But you are dead. You're spiritually dead. I know you've heard in times past some people say that church is dead because they have no enthusiasm, they have no passion. They're not zealous for serving God. This was the church in Sardis. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." An exact, full, or accurate knowledge without zeal is not good. The people of Amos's day didn't have it. The people of the church at Sardis did not have it. And the church we read about in our reading this morning in Laodicea did not have it as well. They were filled with indifference, apathy, unconcerned. The danger of having an accurate and full knowledge of God's will without zeal is obvious. It's seen in the lives of those who have an accurate knowledge of the truth of the day. And they know what's required of them in order to be saved, but they simply will not do what they need to do in order to be saved. Some people have a full, accurate knowledge of the will of God in regard to what's necessary for them to repent of their sin, but they'll not do it. They have no zeal, they have no passion, they have no enthusiasm for serving God in regard to repentance. And what about those who know what is demanded of them by the command to be baptized for the remission of sins, because it will wash away their sins, it will save them, but yet they're unwilling to put Christ on in baptism? They have a full knowledge of the will of God in regard to baptism. They know that it saves. They know that when they submit to Christ in baptism, He will add them to the Lord's church. They'll become a child of God. They know that. But yet they have no zeal. They have no passion. They have no enthusiasm for doing that. So just because one has an accurate, full, or complete understanding of the will of God in regard to some matters, if they have not zeal, it's not good. It's not good at all. Members of the Lord's church especially need to be reminded of this. We know so much about what is required of us today, but how much zeal do we have to do those things that are required of us? Just think about it. I've used this chart before. Just think about it. If you could measure your zeal on a scale from 1 to 10, where would it fall in regard to doing the things that God requires of you to do? Apathy and indifference and lukewarmness on one end of the scale, and zeal, enthusiasm, and passion on the other end. Where would it fall? Just think about it. We're told to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered, Jude 3. Where do you fall on that scale? How enthusiastic, how impassioned are you to contend earnestly for the faith? What about 2 Peter 3 and in verse 18? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When it comes to growing in the knowledge of God's will, remember we can increase in knowledge. We can come to a full, accurate, complete understanding of God's will in more matters than we know. But are we growing in the grace and knowledge of the will of God? Are we enthusiastic and zealous in order to accomplish that? Where do we fall on that scale? Do we fall closer to apathy and indifference than we do to being zealous and passionate for it? What about 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, where Peter said, "But also for this very reason, give all diligence, that is, put forth your best effort, do your best, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love." Where do you fall on that scale in regard to those things? Are you zealous and passionate in adding those things? Do you show yourself to be zealous in service to God as He requires those things of you? Where would you rank yourself? And what about 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22? Abstain from every form of evil. Are you enthusiastic and zealous toward doing that? Do you show some intensity in trying to abstain, stay away from, and avoid every form of evil? What about Romans 12 and verse 1, where Paul said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice." Your body here is put for your whole person. You offer yourself up in service to God. You offer yourself up as a sacrifice to God. You turn yourself over completely to God. That's how you offer or present your body as a living sacrifice. You present your whole being to God. That means you're going to have to be zealous and passionate. You're going to have to be filled with some kind of intensity of effort to do that. But where do you fall on that scale? You lukewarm in regard to it? Are you very zealous or passionate? What about Galatians 6 and in verse 2? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We very zealous or enthusiastic about helping and aiding others in bearing their burdens. The context of this, remember, is when one is overtaken in sin. Do you help them to bear that burden? Where do you fall on that scale? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Am I very enthusiastic, passionate, and zealous in regard to my giving? Again, where do I fall on that scale? What about Hebrews 10 and verse 24? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We know what's required of us, but how zealous, how enthusiastic are we in fulfilling the requirement God has placed upon us? Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What kind of passion do you have for that? Set your mind on things above and not on things of earth. I mentioned this morning that Paul wasn't too much concerned about death because he was more passionate and zealous for heaven, for his heavenly reward. That's what was on his mind. He knew his death was coming. But his eternal reward was what was first and foremost on his mind. How zealous, how passionate are we toward that? What about Philippians 2 and in verse 4? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. When did the concerns of others become important to you? We live in a society that seeks self-satisfaction. And people bow at the altar of self on a daily basis. When has the interest and concerns of others become your interest and concern? Think about it. It's what God requires of us. Where does your zeal or passion, how does it rank in regard to that? You filled with lukewarmness in regard to it? Apathy? Indifference? Or are you on fire? Filled with fervor? Because you want to do that which God requires. A full and accurate knowledge with zeal means success in anything. I want you to think about that. An exact, full, or accurate knowledge with zeal means success in anything. If you want to be a success in whatever endeavor in life, whatever that endeavor is, whatever that subject is, whatever that business is, whatever that work or profession you engage in is, if you come to have a full, accurate, and complete knowledge of that profession, and you have zeal and passion for it, nothing can hold you back from success from it. It's true also in regard to our spiritual lives as well. Paul said in Philippians 3 and in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Therefore, let us learn, and then let us do that which God requires of us. In Hebrews 12 and in verse 1, the Hebrew writer said, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Don't become weary and discouraged. Look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Be zealous. Be filled with compassion in your service to God. Because an accurate, full, complete knowledge of the will of God, along with your zeal and passion in serving him, will bring about the salvation of your soul. Not the salvation of your soul, but the salvation of the souls of others as well. Because you'll be zealous in regard to the things that concern them as well. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why not become one? Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. As a child of God, if you have sin in your life, be zealous to get rid of that sin. Confess your sin to God. Repent of it. He's promised to forgive you of it. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected, if you'll come.